Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
Thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. In this new year, we want to start out the radio program with a series of special recordings from a recent CEF event last fall with guest speaker Gracia Burnham. Gracia, in many ways, reminds me of like a modern-day Elizabeth Elliot. Back in 2001, Gracia and her husband Martin were missionaries serving in the Philippines with New Tribes Missions when suddenly, while at a small island resort celebrating their 18th wedding anniversary, the Burnhams were taken captive by a Muslim terrorist group. Gracia and her husband, along with several others, were held as hostages for over a year by their captors, being force-marched from island to island until rescued by the Philippine Army. However, Martin, Gracia's husband, was tragically shot and killed in the crossfire. Today, Gracia travels the country as a missionary, sharing her story of not only what happened during those difficult days, but also how the love of God and the truth of Scripture sustained her and still holds her heart today fast to the Lord and Savior, even in the midst of life's trials and uncertainties. I know in one sense you may not think this is a very Happy New Year's message, but please trust me when I say it is a message that all of us need to hear, especially as believers in Christ, as we seek to live for the Lord in the midst of a dark world that needs to know the love of Christ and the truth of God's Word. I hope you enjoyed listening to the first part of Gracia Burnham's message and are blessed today in the Lord.
Thank you for inviting me to be here. What a wonderful night for a child evangelism dessert buffet. Wasn't that great? And I'm just so honored to be here, finally. I never get tired of telling this story of God's faithfulness to me and Martin in the jungle. I sometimes wonder why I get invited to speak places, some crazy places like the yacht factory in Florida. The workers, the big dudes, were so excited that I was there because they got an hour off work and they got to go to the air-conditioned break room to hear a story and there were snacks. Or the time I spoke at the county fair in Nebraska late in the evening after the rodeo. The farmers and ranchers and spectators sat in the stands after dark and I told my story. But I think I know why I was invited here. I grew up in a pastor's home, and my mom was a CEF guru. We had after-school Good News clubs in our home, and we hosted five-day clubs in our backyard during the summer. And mom would often teach me the lessons beforehand, and I would practice the flannel graph stories, and sometimes if I did a really good job, she would let me teach. And years later, knowing how to tell stories was a real blessing over and over on the mission field. And then when we were held hostage, I told Bible stories to our fellow hostages, like the story of Naaman's little servant girl, who was a hostage herself, but she loved her owner enough to let him know about God's prophet, who she knew could help Naaman, and about a God who heals. I told the other hostages stories about Paul's missionary journeys and all the trouble he got in, because we were in trouble, and we needed encouragement that God was up to something, although things seemed bad at the moment. So storytelling, I learned that from my mom, who loved and used CEF material. My mom passed away 2 years ago this week. It's her homegoing anniversary. And Daddy died a week after Mom's funeral. And just talking about CEF somehow makes me feel very close to them. Such sweet memories. And I wonder if the Lord allowed me to be invited here for just this very time, because he knew it would really bless my heart to be around some CEF folks. The theme tonight is held captive by God's love. There is something very stabilizing about knowing that an all-powerful God holds me. I am held captive by his love. Knowing that God loves us is one of the first things that we teach our children, isn't it? probably one of the first songs we ever learned in this room is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. God loves me. The scriptures say that so great was his love for you and me that he sent his only son to die that we might live through him. The men holding us hostage, they didn't know that God loves them. I say men, there were some men and some guys that were about 20 and some guys in their teens, but there were a lot of children in our group. I counted the kids, my kids' age one day, and there were 13 of them. The Abu Sayyaf had 100 names for God, and they told us that mankind only knows 99 of them. One is a secret. Each name denotes a character quality that God has. And they wear a rosary around their necks, a string of beads that represent the names of God. There are 99 beads for the known names of God, and then an extra, a special one on the end for the 100th name of God that no one knows. Have you ever noticed that a camel is smiling? A camel has a big smile on his face. Do you know why? Have you ever wondered why the camel's smiling? He knows the 100th name of God, but he's not telling. One day I asked one of the guys, is one of your names for Allah love? And he thought a minute and he said, no, Allah doesn't love us and we don't love him either. We just do what Allah tells us to do because he's God. And I thought, oh, I know the 100th name of God. God is love. We are blessed beyond measure to know a God of love. It makes all the difference. I'm sorry to say that when we were first taken hostage, I didn't exactly display God's love to the men holding us. As days turned into weeks, and weeks became months, and we got hungrier and dirtier, as we got dysentery and diarrhea, when there was no place to take a bath and no clean clothes to change into, and I started feeling more like an animal than a human being, the real me began to surface. What was in my heart came out, and it was shocking. I did not see a loving Gracia. I saw a hateful Gracia. There were days I hated those guys for what they were doing to us and the pain they were causing our family. I saw a covetous Gracia when we were starving, and I saw someone with food and they ate it and didn't share it with us. I was filled with envy at them. I saw a despairing Gracia. Nobody cares about us anymore. This has gone on for so long, everyone's forgotten us. I saw a faithless Gracia. I was a mess, and of course I felt bad to see myself that way. And I asked Martin one day, where is the love, the joy, the peace, the contentment, you know, all those things that are supposed to characterize believers in Jesus? Where are those things? Because I look at myself, I see the bad and the worse. Where's the good? And Martin said, love, joy, peace, those aren't things you can make happen in your own heart. Those are gifts from the Spirit of God. Let's ask for them. And that's what I did. I asked God to change me, even though I wasn't even sure he could do it. But God's faithful. When we are faithless, he is faithful. And he started changing me and my attitude towards those guys, partly through a kid named Ahmad. Ahmad was 14 years old. He was a cute kid. Mostly the kids did the menial tasks, the things the other guys didn't want to do, like fetching the firewood or carrying the heavy loads, but Ahmad was different. His uncle was the number two man of the Abu Sayyaf, and he carried an M14. And since he had a weapon, that gave him status, even though he was just a kid, and he was very proud of himself. Well, you know how 14-year-old boys are. they're always hungry. And we would go for days sometimes with nothing to eat. And then food would come into the camp, and I would watch Ahmad steal our group's food. We kind of moved in groups, and we slept in groups, and we ate in groups. And he would take our group's food and eat it all by himself in secret. And I was so envious. I was the lowest hostage. I was an American, and I was a woman. And that was two strikes against me. And Ahmad decided I was someone he could boss around. And we'd be walking down the jungle trail, and he would follow me, saying one of the few English words he knew, pastor, pastor, pastor. Faster, faster, faster. I couldn't go any faster. We were in a line, for heaven's sake. One day, they allowed Martin and me to go to the river for a bath. And when I talk about a bath, we would step into the stream or the river with all our clothes on, and then we would get ourselves wet. And if we had soap, we would soap up under our clothes, we would rinse off, we would drip dry. That was a bath. Well, they asked Ahmad to be our guard. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to be out on guard duty or hanging around in his hammock, and he had to take the Americanos to the river, and he had a bad attitude. We got down to the river, taking our bath, and he started in on me. Pastor, pastor, pastor. So I started going faster, faster. I guess not fast enough for him. He started picking up rocks, throwing them at me. Pastor, pastor. Well, I'd had it with that kid. I wasn't used to being told what to do, especially by a 14-year-old, and I just laid into him in English. I said, Ahmad, if you don't stop that, I'm going to take the longest bath in the history of all baths, and you'll never get back to your hammock. Well, he had no idea what I was saying, right? He just knew Mrs. Burnham was mad again, and the rocks kept coming till Martin sternly said, stop that, and he quit throwing rocks. A few weeks later, we were in a gun battle, number 13, and Ahmad was wounded in the leg. We were really in trouble. There was military everywhere, and because of that, they couldn't get him to the medical help that he needed. And he started to get feverish and talk out of his head a lot. They would have to help him with everything. They carried him for weeks. One day, I could tell he was very upset about something, and I found out he had messed his pants. There'd been nobody to help him go to the bathroom. And I thought to myself, this thought came from God, y'all. I had asked God to change me, hadn't I? I thought, what if that was my boy in that situation? Because I had a 14-year-old boy back at home. I would want someone to help him. And I went over to him, and in my faltering Cebuano, the only language we shared a little bit of, there were like six different languages being spoken amongst those guys, I asked him how I could help him. And as I took his clothes down to the river and washed them out, and as I threw them over the bushes to dry in the sun, in that moment, God completely changed my heart towards that kid. He gave me a love for him, and I can't even explain it. Ahmad eventually went mad. He went ranting and raving crazy. The last time I saw him, they were sneaking us off of an island, and we had to go through a fisherman's hut to get down to the pier. And as we went through the hut, I heard noises over in the corner. I thought it might be a big rat. I looked over there. There was Ahmad. He was skin and bones. His hands were tied to one side of the hut. His feet were tied to another. There was a sock stuck in his mouth so he wouldn't cry out, a hat pulled down over his eyes so he couldn't see. And I wonder where Ahmad is today. Is he dead? Has he recovered and he's walking through the jungle pestering some other woman hostage? Is he still crazy somewhere? I'm so glad I had the opportunity to be generous with that boy, because I can look back on him and not have any regrets, but it's because God changed my heart and gave me the grace to help someone instead of hate them. And God's in the heart-changing business. That's what he does best.
Thank you for listening to part one of Gracia Burnham's message that she shared recently at our CEF event. Praise God that the Lord is still in the heart-changing business. May the Lord continue to mold and shape each of our lives as believers in Christ to be more of a reflection of His love and grace as we remember this eternal truth that Christ died for us even when we were yet sinners. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week for part two of Gracia Burnham's message, Held Captive by God's Love. Until then, God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. I don't want to forget, so please tell me again.